From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, October 31st. Coming up, a majority of the spooky sounds in scary movies aren't as scary as they seem. Most of the time, they're created with everyday objects. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is making a plea to federal immigration agents, leave the kids alone this Halloween. As Alex Degman reports, that's not likely.
Pritzker called ICE activity in Chicago's Old Irving Park neighborhood during a children's costume parade unconscionable. The parade attracts kids from across the city, but it was canceled last weekend as agents deployed tear gas. Pritzker made a public ask of Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino.
Mr. Bovino, your operation has sown fear and division and chaos among law-abiding residents in our communities. If you are unwilling to cease operations and leave our city, can we at least agree that our children should not be victims, especially on Halloween?
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem responded, saying it's shameful Pritzker would ask for that. I'm Alex Degman.
President Trump announced last month that all new H-1B visa applications for employers looking to hire foreign workers will require a $100,000 fee. IPM Student Newsroom's Leili Nazarva has more on why some international students are concerned.
Navia Shetty is a graduating senior at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, studying computer science and philosophy. She says her path here from India was not easy.
In order to come here, I had to take a student loan with a particularly high rate of interest, and my parents had to mortgage our house in order for me to be able to take that loan.
Shetty's dream has been to finish school, get a job in the U.S. to pay off her loan, and then go back to school to pursue a research career. All that is now under question. Last week, the federal agency overseeing the H-1B program said applicants who have F-1 status, including students like Shetty, will not be affected. But Eva Jadula says the change will still likely affect employers' hiring decisions, given the uncertainty of the whole situation. She's an economist at the University of Notre Dame.
Employers are going to be worried about the dynamics of it. It's already hard enough to be able to get the H-1B.
She says a decline in foreign workers in STEM fields will lead to an overall decrease in innovation and productivity for the U.S. economy. I'm Linda Nazarva, IPM News.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says there's only so much the state can do to mitigate harm when SNAP benefits are cut off this Saturday. The governor signed an executive order yesterday releasing $20 million to support food banks statewide. The money's coming from the Department of Human Services budget and the state's newly formed Bridge Fund. Pritzker says this will be one of the only ways the state can get food assistance to those who need it.
They've decided to shut down the SNAP machines so that they can't be used. So even if we were to put money into SNAP accounts, they couldn't be accessed by someone who has a SNAP card.
Nearly 2 million Illinoisans could lose their benefits unless Congress strikes a deal to reopen the government. The Illinois State Board of Education released data on Thursday to assess how students are performing in their schools. As IPM's Emily Hayes reports, one school in Champaign stood out from the rest in East Central Illinois.
Black students grew their reading skills at Jefferson Middle School more than at any other school, and it was the second best place for Latino students. Adria Warren is an eighth grader at Jefferson. She thinks the school is succeeding at English language arts instruction because its teachers give students individual attention.
When I first came, they were learning a whole different thing that I did at my other school. And Ms. Carpenter sat down and was like, hey, we're doing this. I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? He's like, yes, of course, I'll help you through. And like after 2 days, I had already knew everything. So he's a good yellow teacher.
Her teacher and Jefferson's principal say the school's choice of books and high student standards also played a role. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Still to come, a majority of the spooky sounds in scary movies aren't as scary as they seem. Most of the time, they're created with everyday objects. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 60 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 35 degrees with a west wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of a rain shower and a high of 54 degrees. a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 32 degrees, a north wind 5 miles per hour, and for Sunday, sunny with a high of 56 degrees with a southwest wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, a jury has found former Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson guilty of second-degree murder in the killing of Sonia Massey in her home near Springfield last year. We'll talk about what happened in court. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. A horror film isn't a horror film without blood-curdling screams, werewolves howling, or zombies munching on human flesh. But many of those sounds aren't as scary as they seem. St. Louis Public Radio's Maris Ann Lewis-Thompson shows us how those spooky sounds are brought to life through the invisible world of Foley art. And as a warning, this story contains startling noises.
Francois and Cecile make their way down to the laboratory hidden in the basement of the Delambre estate. It holds a secret, a molecular transporter machine. It's been activated, and to their horror, they gaze upon a vengeful human fly. But if you listen closely, not everything about that scene is as it seems.
Here on the table, we have a variety of household objects that potentially can be really useful in creating a sound effect.
That's Deirdre Matry. She's a senior lecturer in Washington University's Film and Media Studies program, and she's recreating a scene from the 1959 horror sci-fi film The Return of the Fly, starring St. Louis native and the king of horror himself, Vincent Price.
You can see that there's quite a bit going on here, right? We have the whirring of the machines, close-up of the meters, and then, of course, we have this terrible creature, and then the blood-curdling scream.
Foley art involves layering to create a soundscape. For that whirring machine you just heard, Matry took a pair of metal tongs and stirred them around an empty stainless steel frying pan, activated a pink stun gun, clicked through the settings of a clean air filter, and turned on a doggy cam. Combined, you get a whirring machine in a laboratory.
Foley art isn't the type of work that is done just instantaneously. You really do have to find the right sound.
Foley art is a subset of sound design that happens in post-production. Artists recreate and enhance sounds to picture, like footsteps, thunder, creaky doors, and heartbeats that microphones on set struggle to pick up and isolate from dialogue and ambient. These soundscapes are made from scratch using everyday items. Take this scene from the 1973 horror classic, The Exorcist.
By this sign of the holy cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
The sound of the possessed Reagan's neck turning is actually a Foley artist twisting an old leather wallet.
How can we make this sound as believable as possible? I mean, that ultimately that's the goal. We're trying to make sure that the audience is in the story world as deeply as possible.
Part of that believability lies in the artist's creativity. With a little imagination, cooked butternut squash quickly becomes a zombie biting into human flesh.
Because obviously you can't recreate these moments where a zombie is actually biting into a human's neck.
In a soundproof studio at WashU's Harvey Media Center, she shows me how it's all done. There's a long table filled with props like books and clunky boots. She spotted for sound or picked shots from the scene that she wanted to Foley, like the whirring machine, the human fly, and that scream.
The blood-curdling scream, as you can see, is also really dramatic. So, Marissa Ann, I encourage you to get your most terrifying moment in your mind's eye and imagination.
Yes, that scream is coming from me.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm scared.
I am terrified.
No, there's nothing to worry about.
Okay, so what we have here is we have a leader and then...
Waiting in anticipation as the scene rolled, I did my best to match the actress's intensity and imagine that human fly coming after me. And then...
That was so loud.
That was amazing.
Maitri is standing in as our creature. With the same setup, she positions her microphone, locks onto the screen, and becomes that human fly.
I did sort of get into character. To become that insect. It's embarrassing and it's silly, but it's also a lot of fun, right?
Foley art has been around for nearly a century. After the 1920s silent film era, talkies or pictures with synchronized sound, including dialogue, music, and sound effects, popularized.
Jack Foley was hired by Universal Studios, and that's where the name Foley art comes from. It's named after Jack Foley, who really introduced the idea of synchronizing post-production created sound with picture.
You might not have seen Foley on screen, but you definitely heard him. He was the mastermind behind the soundscapes of the classic 1931 horror films Dracula and this notable scene from Frankenstein.
It's moving. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Foley helped solidify those bone-chilling sounds we've all come to associate with horror films. But as advancements in technology helped give rise to the craft, Maitri worries about what those future advancements could mean for the art form.
It is deeply concerning to me that we potentially might turn to automation and artificial intelligence to design an entire scene's soundscape.
Maitri has been doing her part to keep it alive. The independent filmmaker directed the award-winning documentary Sound is Half the Picture, highlighting the world of sound design. She's also teaching her students Foley art. And at least for now, Foley artists won't be disappearing from horror films anytime soon. Oh no, hiding from the zombies, Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Lady Nazarva, Emily Hayes, and Maris Ann Lewis Thompson. Music by the Kilborn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.